Now, tonight, we, myself, and each of you, I have a treat. Barry and I are team teaching. I felt that this idea came to me because a few weeks ago, in morning service prayer, I was praying for other things, and all of a sudden I got in my head, your next evening service is going to be called, Who Are You Yoked To? And asked Barry to join you. And I got very excited, and I even got even more excited when he said yes. So tonight's message, Who Are You Yoked To, reminded me actually of a time before we even had our first Restoring Aging Grace. And I was just praying a lot. And I was actually in a space where I was fasting and praying. And so I came home from a Sunday after service, so just imagine this with me. I'd gone to church, so I was really tired, as usual. I came home to rest after church, as usual. Laid on the couch, as usual. And then I started to play with my phone, as usual. And then God said, really? You're fasting to hear my voice, and you're playing on your phone on the couch? So let's you and I go for a walk. So I thought, okay. And I put my phone up, left it there, and God and I went for a walk. And normally I walk a certain route that's away from all the noisy areas of the streets, but he said, no, I want you to walk down the roads I don't like to walk down. And while walking, and as people were walking towards me, I thought, well, maybe the reason that God wanted me to go down here, because he's going to interrupt me to have a conversation with somebody. And so I would just stare at their eyes as they would come towards me, and I'd go, hello. And then they'd either dart their eyes away and never said hello at all, or they'd just say hello back and kept them walking. So that didn't happen. But what I saw in each person as I passed was I saw pain in them, or I saw anxiety, or I saw lust, and I saw the lost. And I saw religiousness. And I actually felt fear from a couple men that I had met up with. And I didn't even say hello to them. I just walked right by them. And then I made my way to the bench down at the ocean. And I was just enjoying the beauty that my Abba created in the ocean and in the water and in the sky. And then I started to repent. Because when I was a teen, I thought, as soon as I graduate, I'm getting out of this place. I'm getting out of here. And I thought, God wanted me here, so I need to repent of those thoughts of the child, of the teenager. So I did that. And while sitting there, I was asking God a lot of questions. And then finally he went and said, well, what do you want, Nancy? And I said, I want to see Gamma River changed. I want my heart to break for the things that break your heart. And then God reminded me of the people I passed and what he showed me. The pain, the anxiety, the lust, lost, religiousness, and the fear. He said, you're living in a lost world, and if you want to see change, you need to change, and the church needs to change. Through loving the people that I put in your path and telling them about me. This is possible if you yoke yourself to me. Now, Matthew 11, 28-30, it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, yokes are what animals wear on the neck and shoulders in order to leave and be enabled to do the work. An older animal is usually yoked to a younger animal to teach the younger animal the way to be yoked. But what happens when you are yoked to fear or anxiety or unbelief as opposed to being yoked to Jesus and his lead?
So, in 1 Peter 3, 15 or 13 to 15, this is what it says. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. When I was thinking about the things that Nancy just shared, that God had showed Nancy through the Spirit as she was walking down to the beach, the pain and the troubles and all the stuff that were in people's lives. And he said to her, you know, if you want it to change, because she had said, you know, I want Campbell River to change. I want to see people's lives transformed. And he says, if you want it to change, you need them, basically you need to change, but you need to tell them about me. How many of you realize that if we don't tell people about Jesus, they'll never know about him? And so he was saying that, but he said to her at a certain point, it's not using Barry's gift, it's using your own, the way that I lead you. When I read 1 Peter 3, what I see is God's challenge to Nancy and to all of us. What stops us from doing what God told Nancy to do? Fear. He showed her what was going on in people's lives, but it's fear, fear of rejection, fear that we will not really know what to do to help them, or fear of getting entangled in something that maybe is beyond us. We just don't want to be bothered with all the problems. But Peter tells us not to be afraid. Do not fear what the world fears, but instead set up Christ, he said, as Lord in your heart. And another way of saying that might be yoke your heart to Jesus. Set Jesus up in your heart as Lord. In other words, let him lead. Yoke yourself to him. And that's what will empower you to do the things that he's just, to give the reason for the hope that lies within you, is if you're yoked to Jesus and you let him lead you. And you do it with gentleness and with respect. You see, what I see in this text from 1 Peter is not a program of evangelism. That's not what we're talking about tonight. But it's a journey yoked to Jesus, sharing God's love as he leads you and the way that he's gifted you.
Now, we are all gifted differently, and that's a very good thing. I have a huge gift of faith, and I have a gift of prophecy, which means I will walk out to give the reason for hope in 1 Peter differently than those with other gifts. There is no right way. There is no wrong way. What this may look like for me is I wake up in the morning. I spend time talking to God. I may ask God to open my eyes to see him today. I will ask for help because I am also very gifted with checklists that I have to do in order to feel like my day is a good day. And I pray and ask God to show me what my Abba is up to today. Now, I've walked into restaurants. I've seen servers. I've asked them. I've shared with them what I think I see when they come up to me. I've asked if when they had a free moment to come back to the table and if I could pray with them. And I've asked them because I would see pain in their eyes, or I would see something that would trigger me to ask them a question. But I'd first explained that I had this faith in Jesus, and I believe that he wanted to come and meet her, and could I pray for them? And they've come back and said yes, and I give them permission, keep your eyes open. You can look like you're just taking an order from me, and I will pray for you. And it's touched them, and they're trying to serve with tears dropping down. I've also went into it was a few years ago, and this key shop is actually shut down now, but I went into a store. It was a key cutting. I just went in there to get a key cut. It was one of those days that it was part of my check off my list, go get a key cut. And I went in there, but it was also a day that I said, Lord, I need you to show me what the people are, show me what you are doing in the people. So there was this one lady that was there, and she looked very distraught. So I shared with her that I felt like God told me to pray for her. I asked, do you have a faith or belief in God? And she didn't. I said, I do, so that's good enough. And can I pray for you? But so even though she said no, she said, yes, I can pray. But I believe she thought I was going to leave and pray for her. So I waited till there's no one in the store, and I said, okay, I'd like to pray for you now. And she was like, now? Yeah, now. And so I prayed for her, and I was respectful of her work, waited till there was no one in the store, and it impacted her. And again, she was in tears.
Is it my turn now?
Yeah.
Colossians 4, 2 to 6 says this, devote yourselves to prayer, be watchful and thankful. And so, in one sense, that's what Nancy's saying, is that when she goes out in her day and she's being led by the Spirit and she's operating in her gifts, she's also being watchful. What is the Lord doing, and what can I do to join him? And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. We've got to remember, Paul was in prison. His circumstances were really crappy. You know, I think if you and I were in prison, we wouldn't be thinking in terms of, Lord, this is where you have me. How can I share Jesus with my jailer, with the fellow prisoners, with... See, Paul had this very different idea. He just, wherever the Lord led him, wherever he was, it must be where God wanted him at that moment, and he always was looking for an opportunity to share the message. Now, my gift is teaching and evangelism, and I've been led to share Jesus with people that I meet in my day as well. And that's something that we all should do, but I'm an evangelist and teacher, so at some point in my relationship with people, what I feel like is I need to be able to share the whole message with them, the gospel, at some point. As Paul says in the text, pray that God will open a door for the message, and we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Clearly, that means that I'm going to need to have probably more time than Nancy. I'm going to need to maybe have permission. I'm going to need to be able to engage with them about the whole overarching story of God and his plan, why the cross matters, all of those things. But both Nancy's approach and my approach are important. And we need them to work together. There's a scale. A guy named Lou Ingalls, who was an evangelist, he had a scale where he basically said everybody is on a scale in their road towards Christ, either from an uninterested unbeliever all the way up to the point where you make a decision. And along the way, things happen, events happen in your life that move you along the scale, okay? And so it might be something that, you know, it might be something that God does. You get sick, you lose a job, something happens that makes you more open. But along the way, too, people come into your life. Somebody like Nancy, you might be a waitress, and Nancy comes and she starts to pray for you. And she seems to know things that are happening in your life. And that opens you up a little bit more. But along the way, all of us are called to use our gifts to actually move people along the scale. And you don't know where anybody is on that scale. So sometimes we all want to be like, we think we're not having any effect when we share Jesus. But every time we share Jesus, we move people down that scale to the point where at some point they make a decision for Jesus. And that's what we're ultimately called to do. In 1 Corinthians 3, 5-7 it says, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes it grow. And so this is the point. We need to be, all of us, using our gifts. We need each other, and all of us plant seeds. If we're open to actually bringing Jesus to people using our specific gifts. But it's God who produces the fruit. We play our part. But when we yoke ourselves to Jesus, he's the one that causes it to grow.
We choose daily who we're going to be yoked to. Mm-hmm. I choose daily who I'm going to be yoked to. You need to choose daily who are you going to be yoked to. Are you going to be yoked to fear and anxiety or to Jesus and what he's calling you to do?
When we think about what is God wanting to do, what is God calling us to do, what we felt like is that he's asking us to, in a sense, do what 1 Peter says, to set apart Jesus as Lord in our hearts. Or you can put it this other way, to yoke our heart to Christ as Lord. And then through his leading and his power, be open to actually reaching the lost and to begin to look for and be watchful for opportunities. And that's what we want to pray with you about.
And to be watchful for opportunities in the gift set mix you have. You're not Barry, and neither am I, and it's held me back a lot of times to share my faith because I watch him. And he does this big, huge, overarching story. And it's beautiful if you ever get to listen to it, but I can't do it. And so I'm not asking you to be me, to walk into a restaurant and read the people that are there and ask to pray with them in the restaurant. I'm asking you to be you. And we are praying for a changed Campbell River. And it does start with you. I'm the you too, see. But it does start with you. Campbell River will not change unless we change.